Hello. There we go. Can you hear me? All right. For this morning, because of the nature of the message, I'm going to preach from down here because it's surrounding this table. And I want us to capture or try to capture, examine anew what the significance of this table really is. If you go through the book of Luke, there's a number of points where meals play a significant role in what it is that Jesus is up to and trying to teach his disciples, what he's trying to reveal to them and show to them. And so I've just highlighted three here. And these three are all tied together by a common four-phrase sentence. And so the first one is the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The disciples come to him and they say, this is in Luke chapter 9, they say, you know, what are we going to do? Send these guys home. There's not enough food to feed them all. And Jesus says, well, what do we have? And in Luke's telling of it, they gather some fish and bread. And it says Jesus took the food, he blessed the food, he broke the food, and he gave it to his disciples. And they go out and everybody's fed, and there's food to spare. The second is this story that Trinky just read for us this morning. This gathering is the disciples for the Last Supper, the Passover. It's rooted in this idea of the Passover, and Jesus, during the dinner, he takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives it to his disciples. And finally, if you flip to the end of of Luke, and you go to chapter 24, there's two disciples, they're walking down the Emmaus Road, they're heading to Emmaus, and this stranger shows up and walks amongst them and tells them all of their history, the history of Israel, and they're confused as to why this guy that's walking with him isn't as concerned as they seem to be because Jesus has been crucified. And they get to a crossroads and they said, well, you should come home with us and have a meal with us. And as they get home to the meal, the stranger who's these two disciples have encountered takes the bread, blesses the bread, breaks the bread, and gives it to them. And their eyes are open. They realize that it's Jesus who's been walking with them. And so this fourfold repetition of taking, blessing, breaking, and giving is very prominent from the beginning to end of Luke. There's other stories you could go out. One very prominent one is the prodigal son message, which Pastor John went through last week. And what happens at the end of that message when this lost son comes home? A huge banquet and celebration is had. And so meals throughout Scripture, and in Luke in particular, play a very prominent role. And if we actually pause for a second and look at our own lives, meals play a huge role in our lives as well. There's not many of us who eat simply for sustenance, where we get, you know, the protein shake or whatever it is we need and just eat that and move on. The only person I've ever encountered who lives that way or had to live that way was Jim Dixon. After he had gone through his radiation treatment, the only thing he could get into him was these shakes that Laurel concocted for him, and he lived on those for 2 years, and which was actually really good for his diabetes because it was so consistent. In his meal, he could regulate things very carefully, but he couldn't taste food, and he couldn't swallow anything that was dry because he wasn't producing any saliva, so he simply ate for sustenance. But that's not the case for most of us. I mean, we need to eat and whatnot, but we celebrate things like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, birthdays, anniversaries. We create these huge meals. Lent, that's a good one. Although Lent, normally we don't eat as much. We celebrate these meals. They're big. Gathering around a table is a big deal for us. And I didn't realize how big it was until I started dating Ange and then got married to her. Christmas is the biggest deal in her parents' house in terms of sharing a meal together. They take out all sorts of extra decorations, like charger plates, which I didn't even know existed until I met Ange's family or what they were. They take out special china, salt and pepper shakers, and everything is all decorated up because for her family, it's really important in how we gather and placing significance in this eating together kind of aspect. And so often when we gather around this table of communion, we don't actually gather around it. It's normally up here, set off not to the side, but at the front, which is a good place in terms of prominence. And then we say a few words and we take the bread and we break the bread or bless the bread through prayer. We break it and we give it to one another, just as Jesus did. But we don't actually gather around. And so this morning, that's why I wanted to have this here, because as the disciples gathered in that upper room, they gathered around the table. It was an important time for them. Now, the part that Trinky didn't read, which really doesn't bear relevance to where we want to go, was this idea that the room was already furnished and ready to go for them. Jesus sent Peter and John in to find a room, talk to a guy, and show them this furnished room that was ready to go. And as we gather around tables, again, depending on whose house you go to and what type of meal it is, there's certain protocols or rituals that get done. And so, again, Angie's family, people are assigned seating. This is where you sit as we gather. And it's not a status thing. It's just they like to have things ordered. When I was growing up, it was a free-for-all. There's four of us. We all sat in the same spot because we're creatures of habit. But if other people came over, people just sat wherever. As we gather around this table, we invite those who follow Christ to come and partake. Partake in this remembering. And in each of our minds, there's different expectations as to how that is done. Some of us think that it should be done quietly and solemnly. Others of us take it more, I don't want to say casual, because that kind of lessens its value, but take things more relaxed, maybe is a better word. Others of us go, it's just what we do. I don't know why we do it. I mean, I get it from the scripture, but it's not really a monumental event. So we all come and gather around this table in different ways. And so if we go back to the story with Jesus and his disciples, they were going to celebrate this Passover. And there were certain expectations of the Passover that needed to be met, certain foods that would be eaten, certain ways that those foods would be eaten. And Luke is very explicit in talking about he takes the first cup, he takes the next cup, and what he does with those cups. And so there was a certain ritual that was followed. And so the disciples are like, here we go. Okay, he's talking about the last Passover. Okay, great, whatever. But we're going to do these things as we've done for the last 3 years together. And then things are a little bit askew. First, Jesus tells them to go find a guy who's got a table ready and say to him, you know, tell the master, or the teacher needs a place for us to gather, and this guy shows them to the room. That, if I was one of the disciples, looking back on the story, I'd go, something interesting is happening at this meal. They gather together, they begin eating, Jesus takes the cup, and he says, this is the last cup I'm going to drink with you until the kingdom of God comes. If I was one of the disciples, again, as I read the story, I go, something, what's any different than the last 2 years? What's really going on here? Jesus then later on in the meal takes the bread and he says, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And if I was one of the disciples, of course, because I would have had it all figured out, I would have been, there is something really significant going on here. Why is Jesus starting to fully own the Passover meal? He finishes with this cup. He says, this is my blood poured out for you. This is the new covenant that you're entering into with my death. And you, like me, would have said, all right, Jesus, tell us what's next. How are we supposed to do this? Jesus was inaugurating. He was starting. He was inviting them to participate in this new thing that was about to happen, his death and resurrection. And as we read the story, I want to say, you know, disciples, why didn't you get it? Because when we read the story and Luke's telling of the story, the same thing that happens around every family table was happening around that table. First, an accusation is made about something bad that's going to happen, or something that someone's in trouble. And in our household, fingers start flying. Who could it be that's messed up this time? And what did the disciples do? It's the exact same thing. Surely not I. There's no way I would betray the Lord. If we continue reading the story, we realize that they actually all run away and betray him. Judas is the one that hands him over, but they all abandon him in his time of need. Interestingly, after saying that surely not I am the one who abandon him, their next squabble is, well, I'm the most important one here at this table. I don't know about your family, but in ours, right, there's conversations that are just going on nonstop. Fingers that are flying and accusations that are being made. important things of status and importance to say how great each one of us is. Of course, I never do that though, right? No, never. Around the table, we tend to get focused on ourselves because we are creatures of habit and selfish by nature, which the Bible story tells over and over again. The most incredible part about it all is Jesus is inaugurating this new thing that is happening. We flip over to John. What is it that he does? He shows them what it means to be humble. He invites them to participate anew in the things that God has started from the beginning. And we continued reading on in this story, after they start arguing about who's the greatest, Jesus says, hold on. Something new is going on here. The Gentiles lord their position over one another, but not so with you. As my followers, as my friends gathered around this table, you are to be a people who love one another, who invite one another around this table. There is no position of importance around this table. The importance is that we gather around this table. And sometimes it takes a jarring event to wake us up to that. And so that's really, physically, I want us to gather around this table. But the other part of reorienting the sanctuary this morning is that sometimes we need to be caught off guard in a moment to really capture anew what it is that's going on around us. To be reminded that there is and are new things happening all the time that God is trying to do in your life and in mine. Trying to reshape us and mold us and invite us to participate in what he was inviting the disciples to participate in so many years ago. Because he took the bread and he blessed the bread. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples as symbolism of giving his life to them. And then he said this, as often as you gather around this table, Luke records, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of this moment right now, in remembrance of the Exodus and what the original Passover was celebrating. Do it in remembrance of what Abraham, how he was called out to be the people of God, to bear witness to the world of God's presence. But, and this is the part we often miss, we remember that what is going on here is an anticipation of the coming kingdom. And so I don't often read quotes, but as I was preparing for today, one of the authors that I was reading, who wrote the New International Commentary on Luke, he says this, "We may understand Jesus as instructing his followers not only to continue sharing meals together, but to do so in a way that their fellowship meals recalled the significance of his own life and death in obedience to God on behalf of others. This recollection should have the effect of drawing forth responses reminiscent of Jesus' own table manners, his openness to outsiders, his comportment as a servant, his indifference towards issues of status and honor and the like, so that these features of his life would come to be embodied in the community of those who call him Lord. A meal in memory of Jesus is one which celebrates and prolongs his lifestyle of justice and of serving the Father's food to all." As you and I gather around this table, we gather around not only to remember what Jesus has done, but to remember how he did it. That at the table was one who would betray him specifically to the authorities, but also 11 others who would betray him in his time of need. He invited them in. As he gathered around this table, he provided instruction in terms of what it really means to follow him. No, this isn't a matter of importance that you sit at this table. It's a matter of love that you sit at this table. And so this morning, as we gather around this table in a little while, I want us to be reminded that as you sit across and adjacent to one another, He died for each one of us. Not just you, but every other person that you see. Every person that you currently don't see because they're not here. Every person that you encounter this week, God sent his son to die for them, that they might have life to the full. Jesus would have invited any one person to the table. With all their flaws, with all their foibles, with all their lack of manners, lack of understanding of what it means to gather. He invited them because he wanted them to know that something new was at hand. The kingdom of God was about to be launched. I will not drink this cup again until I drink it into the kingdom. We've been, over the last number of weeks, going through our gospel life. That's the title of the series, Our Gospel Life. Gathering around the table here and in your homes is part of what it means to live out the gospel. To invite others to come and share with you around your table is a part of what it means to live out the gospel. To invite people into the intimacy of a table shared together with all our chaos and craziness, at least that exists in our home. For those of you who have eaten there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Of all the strangeness and differentness that exists from one person to the next, the table of Christ, a table centered on Christ, really reflects what it means to be kingdom people, to live in light of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so my challenge to all of us is to be more intentional about inviting people around your table. And whether that's physically in your home, or whether it's in a coffee shop, whether it's at a park bench, to be intentional about living our lives such that we gather with people to share in life together. And I know no other place that's better than around a meal. I think that's why Luke sets eating so prominently throughout his gospel. I think that's why the laws focus so diligently on the food that God wanted his people to eat. There's something valuable and important about meals that draws us together. And so my call to all of us is to not simply see the table in our home as a piece of wood or plastic or some other material that we eat off of, but rather a place where the gospel can be lived out because of those who gather around it. And the final piece I wanted us to all remember, that this, for Jesus, was done in obedience to the Father. It was a gathering of his disciples in obedience. And if we are going to remember him as he has called us to remember him, when we eat together, it's not simply sustenance. It's obedience to the Father, proclaiming that the kingdom has come. Let's continue to be that people. Let's pray. Lord God, we gather around this table this morning. We thank you for its presence amongst us. We thank you for your presence amongst us, that we can gather here today. I thank you, Lord, that we do share in table fellowship, both here in this building with one another, but also within our homes and in restaurants, in parks and playgrounds and lunchrooms. Help us never to see a meal, Lord, just as food to nourish our bodies, but to continually remind you that the sharing of food, the taking, the blessing, the breaking, and the giving is a reflection of what it means to be your people and to proclaim that the kingdom has come. Help us, Lord, at every meal to remember Jesus, not just in what he has done, but also in what he is doing, that we might invite the stranger, the outcast, the one who has afflicted us, to come and dine at the table in order that we might grow together in relationship with one another and with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather this morning in particular to celebrate the Passover celebration, that the kingdom of God has come amongst us, that your death and resurrection is a reality within our lives and the lives of the world as a whole. We pray your presence amongst us as we share together in it in a few minutes.